This morning's first reading, Mark 7, 31 to 37. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven with a deep sigh and said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." And the second reading from Mark 8, verses 1 to 13. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciple picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present. And having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them, got back in the boat, and crossed to the other side. This is the word of the Lord.
Over Lent, we're doing a series called Jesus Living in the World. The idea is to look at how Jesus chose to engage with the world we live in, and in doing so, gain a better overall picture of Jesus, as well as a better idea of how we are to interact with the world and people. At the beginning of Lent, we saw that Jesus, as the Son of God, chose to humble himself, submitting to the will of his Father, and served the people for their own good in a self-sacrificial manner. Jesus chose to engage with the world by doing what's best for the world and for the people he met. He preached the gospel. He helped them to know that they could be a part of the kingdom of God. He invested in the individuals and he blessed the suffering of people's lives. This is how the Son of God chose to live in the world, and therefore this is how we are to live in the world. Last week we saw how there is a lot of brokenness in the world and a lot of people who do not feel loved and accepted, let alone welcomed and wanted. But Jesus welcomes all who come to him. He does not care about how sinful they have been, because seeing people imprisoned by their sin caused him to have compassion and a desire to show mercy and forgiveness. If anyone reaches out to Jesus, he will welcome and accept them. But of course, Jesus also loves them too much to leave them as they are and will begin his work of releasing them from the sin in their lives. We are to follow Jesus' example. We are to allow Jesus to fill us with his compassion and love for the lost, the least, forgotten, rejected and despised of this world, rather than to be repulsed. This is who Jesus wants us to be. And he wants to use us to show the people we meet his love for them, so that they too can have their lives transformed by God and his touch in their lives. And so this week, we continue to look at Jesus engaging with the world as he lived in it. And this week we will see how Jesus met the needs of people as he came into contact with them. The Gospels are filled with stories of Jesus helping those who came to him. He healed diseases and sicknesses. He healed people's bodies of conditions. He healed people of demons. And as we heard in our first sermon in this series, one of the things Jesus did in his ministry was to go out into the countryside and heal all those who came to him. But Jesus didn't just heal people. Last week we heard how Jesus made a sinful woman feel welcomed and loved, much like he did with others like Matthew and Zacchaeus, those who were outcasts. He made them feel like they mattered and were accepted. And so today's Bible readings are just two of the many stories we have on Jesus meeting people's needs. But these two stories do give us a good insight into how Jesus engaged with those who he met who had needs. In the first story, which leads immediately into the events of the second story, Jesus is moving about the different towns and regions. So he's starting up there in the north in Tyre. He's then going further north to Sidon. He's heading down to the Sea of Galilee, and then he's heading west, southwest into Decapolis. We see that Jesus is going all over the northern and western areas of Israel around this time in his ministry. He wants to meet with people from all over Israel. And this is an important detail not to miss. Jesus is not just ministering in one area. He is going everywhere. Jesus has a heart for the lost sheep of Israel, and he desperately wants to help them. He desires for all the people to have the opportunity to meet him and for him to meet their needs. As Jesus goes into the western, more sparsely populated region of Decapolis, a group of people bring to Jesus a man who was deaf and he could hardly talk. Now, if you ever met a person who was deaf from birth, you know that they find it very difficult to speak. Because when it comes to making sounds, all they have is nothing but the movement and shape of the mouth of others to go off. And so it's likely we have a person who was deaf from birth. But he does have either family or friends who love and care for him very much, and they want Jesus to heal him. And so on the deaf man's behalf, they beg Jesus to lay his hands on him. As this happens in front of a large crowd which is gathered, Jesus doesn't want to make a public spectacle of this man and this miracle. So he takes the man away from the crowd, this crowd which is following Jesus around. Jesus makes this into a special, intimate moment for the deaf man. Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. He spat on his fingers, I presume, and then touched the man's tongue. Jesus looks up to heaven, and with a deep sigh, he says to the man, "Ephpha," which means, "Be opened." The man was instantly healed. His ears could hear, and his tongue was loose so he could speak. What a moment. This moment speaks of Jesus. We gain a good insight into the Son of God and how he engaged with the people of the world while he lived in this world through this encounter with this man. In this moment, we see Jesus not only heal a person of their physical ailments, but to take the time to make them the full focus of his time and attention. I remember being in Brisbane City and having a poor beggar come up to me. I was a young adult. And as I reached and got out my wallet and pulled out a few coins, I refused to look at the man. I did not look into his eyes. I did not really acknowledge him as a human being. Afterwards, I felt so bad for not acknowledging him as a human deserving dignity, worthy of my attention. Jesus could have acted in this type of manner. He could have. But he never did. A common element in the stories of Jesus healing people is how he made them the focus of his attention at that moment. It shows that he genuinely cares about the people. They aren't just a number. They are a valuable individual. He treats all people who have needs they cannot meet themselves by treating them as a human being who is worthy of his time and attention. Even when a person didn't want to bother Jesus with acknowledging her, he made sure he did. And I'm talking about the woman who was healed of her bleeding by touching Jesus' clothes. Jesus felt the power go out of him and he wanted to know who it was. And when he did, he acknowledged her. She either lacked the confidence or was too embarrassed or just didn't think she was worth Jesus' time to ask him to heal her. But Jesus made sure that he made her feel valued and special. There is all the difference in the world between the way I gave money to that homeless man and the way Jesus healed this man. And if you've ever received help because you've been in need, you understand that difference. So after healing the deaf man, for a new crowd follows him to a remote place. These people are loving the ministry of Jesus so much that they were willing to go 3 days without any food. Are you willing to go 3 days without any food to hear from Jesus? Well, they were. And so these people love his presence, his teaching, his healing, his ministry, enough that they would follow him, walking a long distance to a remote area with no food. And so Jesus sees that and has compassion on them. Jesus decides that he's going to do something special for them. He's also worried that some of them might collapse before they get back to their home, since many have traveled a long way to be with him. So Jesus gathers 7 loaves of bread and some small fish, and he has the disciples distribute it. And just like with the feeding of the 5,000, here with the feeding of the 4,000, there is more than enough to go around, with 7 basketfuls being picked up afterwards. What we see here in Jesus is making sure that those who are following him are okay. I'm sure everyone would have survived the walk home, although some may have needed some help due to possibly feeling weak and fainting. But Jesus is looking after those. He's just looking after those who have shown a willingness to forego their hunger to be with him. And there's something beautiful in that. You know, these people, they weren't there because they thought if we stick with Jesus, we're going to get some free food or get some other material benefit. And so Jesus honors their commitment to him by providing relief from their weakened state and satisfying their physical hunger. He provides their physical needs as well as he has been providing for their spiritual needs in his teachings. The main reason why I wanted to share this story is because not all Jesus' miracles were done to meet big debilitating issues that people had. Sometimes Jesus meets needs which are less pressing to be attended to. These people were a little weak and hungry, so he gave them something to eat. With the story of the deaf and mute man, we can see how Jesus can meet the most difficult of our needs. There is nothing Jesus can't overcome. He can heal people of everything and anything, and these healings are a foretaste of the complete healing we will receive when we are resurrected by Jesus. That's the good news of the big miraculous healings. But with the stories like the feeding of the 4,000, Jesus was moved by compassion to feed some weary, hungry people who wanted to be near him, which tells us that Jesus cares about people and he cares about us and is willing to do miracles to meet more ordinary needs too. Maybe needs that we have. I remember as I was coming up to my final teaching prac, and I was having some, I was struggling with my preparation for that. And God had two young teachers who were just a little bit older than myself from my church decide that they would come and see how I was going in my preparation for that prac. And they sat down with me and helped me to be prepared and to feel like I was prepared. Do you remember a time when Jesus sent people or helped you in some way when you were facing something uncomfortable or something concerned? These stories, your stories, the stories in the scriptures, they show us the heart of Jesus and how he genuinely cares for people. But how do these stories impact us and how we are to engage with the people of the world? Well, we are to love and care for and to value the needy of the world. I want to tell you a story about a man who was born in the year 898 AD in southern France. There was a young man called Otto, who was 19 years old, and he was being trained to be a warrior for a duke in France. And then he had a sudden realization of his duty before God, and he abandoned his commission and instead devoted himself to a religious life. His teacher was a Benedictine, and this teacher had a big influence on Otto. Otto became the abbot of Cluny, a small town in southern France in 927 AD. He was a humanitarian who denounced violence and greed, following the ways of Jesus Christ. Whenever he went out, he would always make sure they had something to give to the poor. And when he met the poor, he gave to all who asked of him. And we're told he was sometimes taken advantage of by them. Sometimes, when he suspected someone needed help but were too proud to ask, to allow them to keep their dignity, he would ask them to do something for him, which he could then pay them for, and pay them very well for, saying that they deserved no small fee for the wonderful service they provided him. He did the same with the poor farmers, where he would demand to pay more than what they were asking for their food, for their produce. And he would only buy their food when they agreed to the high price he demanded to pay. Otto was also keen to make sure that his students and servants never turned away the blind or the lame from his house, and that they would learn to love charity. And even being a little bit cheeky, he would tell them that that the needy would be the doorkeepers in heaven, so be careful that you let them in so that they will let you in. It drives home the point of how important it is to be welcoming of the poor and needy. Those who had become disillusioned with the corruption in the church flocked to Otto in Cluny. And soon he was given permission to start to reform monasteries all over Europe. He reformed 13 monasteries over 13 years, although not one a year. Otto's reforms helped shape Christian leadership in Europe for the next century, so that the course of Christianity was brought more back in line with the ideals of renouncing worldly wealth and power while embracing giving charity to all those in need. Otto showed the light of Christ in his day. He gave others an example to follow of how they were to always consider the needs of the needy, like Jesus always did, by giving the needy the dignity of being human beings of value, worthy of his time, attention, and genuine care. We are called to also live as Jesus lived. We are to tend to the needs of the needy. Like Jesus, we should have our eyes opened and always willing to be interrupted in our days to help out a poor or needy person. In 2 Thessalonians 13, Paul says to never get tired of doing good. Is this who we are? Is this who you are? Are we a people who never tire from helping people in need? We are tasked with finding the way God wants us to meet the needs of the needy in our day, in our time, in our place. In Matthew 11, verses 4 to 5, Jesus tells John the Baptist's disciples to report back to John what they see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor. Jesus defined his ministry in terms of meeting the needs of those in need. That was the defining hallmark of being the chosen one God had sent. He was meeting the needs of the needy. How are you going? Is one of the hallmarks of your life meeting the needs of the needy? Jesus always met the needs of the people around him, healing people and helping people in all manner of ways according to their need. Anyone who came in earnestness was loved by Jesus and their needs seen to. We may not have the gift of healing like Jesus did, but like Otto of Cluny, we are called to follow Jesus in helping the needy as we can. We too are to go out into the world to help people with their trials and strife. We are to give of ourselves and of our material resources, treating people as human beings worthy of our attention and time, knowing that as we follow Jesus in this way, he is always meeting our needs as well. Amen.